everyone, and welcome to another episode of What the... our short-form podcast of Vegas TMI, where we explore topics that we get on social media. All your questions. I'm Shane.
I'm Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Shane.
So on this episode, we're going to be looking into two questions that we think confuse a fair amount of people. First, what the is a deputy city marshal? You might have seen our deputy city marshals at City Hall or listened to our public safety podcast, then you're in the know. They're also at city parks and community centers, and you might have seen them in patrol cars driving around, but what exactly do they do? Do they just eat donuts?
I don't think so. So our deputy city marshals protect city facilities, including our parks, community centers, City Hall, and our elected officials.
And this is different from Las Vegas Metro Police Department because...
well, Metro handles all 911 calls, but if the dispatcher knows the crime took place at one of our facilities or parks, they'll dispatch the marshals to be the lead on the investigation.
So let's say I'm committing a crime at Lorenzi Park, for example. Who would respond, Metro or the marshals? Which one would beat me up?
Well, it depends. You might see both. But, you know, whether it's a robbery or maybe a car that got broken into, our marshals will generally be the lead on the investigation.
Good to know. And if you're interested in a law enforcement career, we're actually hiring for city marshals right now. We've had the opportunity to work with a lot of them, interview them even on this podcast, the public safety podcast. It sounds like a pretty good gig to me.
Yeah, they tell us that one of the big perks about it is that you can actually apply before you're 21, which you can't do with Metro. Plus, you're a city employee, so you get access to the same benefits and retirement plans as other government employees.
Yep, and if you listen to our public safety long-form podcast, then you know Officer Angel was one of those that applied before she was 21. So you can really enjoy being members of the community. They visit our community centers and parks and get to know the neighborhoods that they serve. And this really helps improving that perception of law enforcement in some cases because people get used to seeing them around. It removes this barrier between law enforcement and the local community and helps to build community to make life better. Right, Jen?
Absolutely. And there's also special opportunities you have to advance inside the department. Of course, there's your standard promotional opportunities, but we also have different programs like our protection detail, where they actually are trained to help protect our elected officials like Mayor Goodman and other officials that even come to town. So they help tremendously during the 2016 presidential debate that was held at UNLV, for example.
I mean, personally, I think the podcast team needs its own security detail.
Absolutely.
Can we
get on
that?
It is pretty handy to ride with the marshals, though, when you go places with them.
Yeah, it is.
You get front row parking, and you can really get in and out of places
anywhere.
Quickly.
But there are some hoops you have to jump through, of course, in the application process. Just like any law enforcement job, you're going to have to pass a background. You're going to have to pass a polygraph test. You're going to have to take a psych test, which obviously I would fail, and pass the physical test, double fail.
Yeah, so that physical test can include stuff like being able to jump 15 inches off the ground, do at least 23 push-ups, which I would personally fail, and do a 1.5-mile run in 16 minutes and 57 seconds.
Not even close. Not going to happen.
Yeah, it sounds a little intense, but we definitely give you the program, I think, ahead of time, so you have a little while to prepare for it.
You can train for it. So you pass all that, then you're invited to attend the academy. I was not and will not be. The whole application process and attending the academy takes about a year.
Yeah, so if you're interested in applying, you can head to lasvegasnevada.gov/jobs to learn more about the requirements and hiring timeline.
And we've got a very helpful recruiter, Ron Pruitt. If you have any concerns or questions, you can go to lasvegasnevada.gov/jobs. His email's on there. You can get in touch with him. He will answer all of your questions.
You may have seen a new sign that's caught your eye near the Stratosphere on Las Vegas Boulevard at St. Louis. The new City Gateway sign features twin showgirls that rise 26 feet into the air and flank a 12-foot tall script, Las Vegas color-changing LED sign. There's also giant dice, poker chips, and a roulette wheel. It was meant to be a photo op, so tag us in your selfie when you visit.
Okay, Jen, thanks for that announcement. I always forget that sign's there. I haven't been out there to take real pictures yet, and I love to take a good selfie, so I'm going to check that out. So let's talk about our next topic. What the is up with cutting down trees, not cutting down trees? The public wants to know what's up with trees, Jen. Tell me about trees.
So believe it or not, we actually have a certified forester on staff here at the city.
An urban forester, even. Now, some people may have heard of an arborist. So what's the difference between an arborist and an urban forester?
Well, an arborist is basically a tree expert, while an urban forester is more knowledgeable about how to keep entire populations of trees healthy.
Sounds important. Do we have a horticulturalist or a permaculturalist on staff?
That's a good question. I'm happy to investigate that for a future episode.
All right. If you're going to work for the city, we have a staggering 47,500 trees in our parks, facilities, public right-of-ways. I mean, that's a lot of trees.
Yeah. And in addition to that, we plant an average of 1,500 to 2,000 new trees, and we unfortunately have to cut down about 500 a year.
And now we always try to save trees, but sometimes we can't. It just isn't possible. Certain environments like streets are hard environments for trees to thrive in. Downtown, the air quality is not as good. There's not as room for the trees to expand. So trees in those kinds of areas average about 13 to 15 years. And we want to see that increase to 30 to 50 years. Healthy trees can live anywhere from 50 to, I don't know, a million. Is that possible?
They're pretty old. There's a lot of big trees out there that people can go visit, but I think in general, here, it's 50 to 100 years. People also don't realize that having a really diverse tree population, meaning having different kinds of trees that can thrive in the desert, helps make sure that they can live long and healthy lives. If all of our trees are the same and a tree disease comes through, it can be a major problem for us.
Yeah, so stop planting all ash trees in your yard. Just stop it. Our forester, Steve Glimp, joined our team a few years ago, and he's helped come up with a master plan for what trees should be planted. He's also trained our maintenance team on how to properly care for and prune trees to make sure they stay healthy. If you have any trees of your own, you know it's a hard job.
Yeah. And Steve's really smart and great. We got to interview him for this podcast for this information. And it's really cool. He's actually bringing about a new small production nursery at one of our maintenance facilities. So we hope that this will eventually grow about 600 trees a year that will support the 1,500 to 2,000 that we need to plant every year.
Yeah. And that'll be nice. We'll probably go and do a feature on that at some point. And we can walk around it and feel like we're in a forest. Now, if you are getting ready to add new trees to your yard, we talked to Steve, our forester, and he recommends the Canyon Hackberry and the Mesquite tree. Both are native to the southern area, don't take a lot of water, provide good shade, and do well in the desert.
So now you know. We love trees and have taken extra steps to make sure that they are better protected. It's expensive to plant new ones all the time, and we want to do our part to make sure that our 47,500 trees and growing every year stay healthy for decades to come.
Yeah, and who doesn't like oxygen, right?
Thanks again for joining us while we ask what the on two important topics.
You can catch up on past episodes at lasvegasnevada.gov/podcast or use the hashtag VegasTMI to submit a question for future episode or just to say hi to me and Jen and whoever. You can subscribe to this podcast on the Google Play Music Store, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. We'll probably be there.
Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.